This is episode 63 of the Business Growth Podcast. In this episode, this is part two of my conversation with John Price. He's the president of Cleaner Filters. And we're really diving deep into talking about how to manage that team, that large team, the orchestration of it, and some productivity tips that will help you as you manage your employees. We're also going to be talking about branding and at what point branding makes sense between your company branding or your company being profitable and focused on actual like ads and things that you can track. So a lot of valuable lessons in here. Let's jump into it and hear part two of this interview with John. So let's talk about the operations and how you're able to disseminate that vision and manage the orchestration of all of that.
All right, here we go.
That's a very broad question. So if you can kind of give a snapshot and then I'll follow up.
Okay, let me see if I have a book back here. Yep, I do. We just got done reading this book. Extreme Ownership. And I don't know how you pitch books on your podcast, but we went through this as a company and it's all about these stories, these Navy SEALs and how they go through all these different exercises and how that applies to business. And so to answer your question as the orchestrator, you know, how do I prioritize and execute is really like what I gathered from this book the most. And I think the biggest thing, you know, as a company, we break down priorities into an annual basis and then into a quarterly basis and then into monthly. So we have monthly priorities that are fueling the quarterly priorities that are fueling the annual priorities as a company. That helps me as a high level know where we are, where we're going as a company, what we need to be focusing on, because it's going to eventually get down to the weeds of if we need to hit this number of in our bottom line, how does that adjust our, you know, ROAS on spending for each channel? And then we break it down into each channel. And if one's underperforming, how do we react to that? So we set those baselines as an annual priority. And then come all the way down to we know what we're doing on a daily basis as a company. That has allowed me some freedom to lay it out, you know, on a whiteboard or on different sprints to see where we are as a company, where we're going. But it's also allowed me to stay sane, because normally I would be like, okay, well, you know, affiliate world, how are we doing there? Let me spend like 4 hours say on that, and it turns into, you know, 5 days, and then PPC, how are we doing on that? To go back to our previous conversation and in the previous episode, if you're breaking these up, would be to really give the freedom to that person who's excellent at what they do to be able to achieve those goals. And they're helping me set the milestones and budget for the year as well, because they're in that channel all day long. So I'm not going to force a budget upon them that is unrealistic, but they know we're a growing company and I'm going to allow them to really play a role. And what do you feel like we can achieve as a company in, you know, pay-per-click this year? And how are we going to break that into quarterly priorities? And how does that look like for us this month? What campaigns are we going to do to hit those numbers? To have everyone on that plan has really allowed me the freedom to have some sanity in my life as we grow. Because I know everyone, once again, is on the same team and is for the growth of this company.
That makes sense. You talked about like getting everyone to buy in. And I have a friend as a local company here, 150 employees or so. And I've been in some of those meetings, seeing that buy-in when the employees, like, they almost gamify what they're doing. Have you been able to like, get your employees to do that as well? Where they're like, you know, especially around like that pay-per-click marketing or things like that. They'd be like, oh, we got our cost per click down. And like, have you seen that happen? And if you have, how did you get them to do that?
Great question. So we real quick, like this year is all about celebration. Like we really want to celebrate our employees when they have wins, even small ones. And, you know, we set a record yesterday and it wasn't a huge number, but we're going to celebrate it because it's a record. And when it comes to each channel, a win for them is really good for a lot of reasons. You know, pay structure and some other stuff can be tied into that, which we can go into detail or not. But, you know, that's obviously in the back of a lot of people's minds. You know, how do I make this company more money that's going to advance my career too in this company? Also, how are they looking after the scale of themselves inside the company with what they're achieving. So to go back to like a PPC example, just as every tactical person knows, like a win feels so good. Mm-hmm. And when they bring that to the table, hey, this week we've got, you know, a 5-to-1 ROAS or something, you know, and we're going to pour money on this until it comes down to a number that we're not as comfortable with, you know, to see them one hit that threshold and then to now be making the decisions and watching that number either grow or decline, I think fuels them as an employee to really own that space well and allows them to, okay, what's the next thing? Because every channel changes. You know, we're really good at a few channels and we've been good at a few channels for years and years and years. But as marketers, you know, we all know that those channels will soon fizzle out and we need to be in the next phase of that. And PPC in general, you have 100 directions you can go with that. So it's fun to watch them kind of go through different elements of their channel to find the wins. When one's not working as well, how do they adapt to that and change and optimize it? And that's where it comes into hiring A people as well. You know, a B player is going to just turn on AdWords, watch it, make little tweaks. And maybe you try to hire an agency to do it all for them and they manage that. So we are just all after, you know, hiring the best talent that thinks about how do we grow this channel? How do we grow that channel? And I don't know if I'm answering your question per se, but you know, we're trying to celebrate those wins, but also we want to get people who are hungry to get those wins inside of their channel.
Okay. That makes sense. Before our call, you said that mm-hmm. this morning you had some daily huddles. And yes. So, you know, we've both, I'm sure, have done daily huddles with our teams, virtual teams. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about what does the daily huddle mean to you and walk me through that. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So as the executives meet every morning and there's 5 of us here in this building and 2 outside of this building that have other businesses that we run just in different locations. And we all just look at the day ahead. What does it look like? And with the day ahead, that allows us to say it allows everyone in the room to hear that and to say, okay, I know what you're going with that and I can help you with that. Or I need to let my team know when I do my huddle after this with them. So the daily huddles actually cascade. So it starts as the executive team and then each of the departments breaking the daily huddles directly after. And so anything that I were to bring up in the daily huddle that might require assistance from or just awareness from, let's say, like the finance team and customer service team, now we're all on the same page. So it allows us to kind of always be on the pulse a little bit, which is, it seems very micromanaging in a lot of ways, but now that I've been here for 8 months, I couldn't do a morning without a daily huddle because it's so good to just know what everyone's doing. And so, like I said, it starts with the executive team and then it trickles down to where everyone in the company by the end of the day, end of the morning, knows really what's going on. And so if I'm running a huge campaign, and this would be a bad example because I would probably let the customer service team know beforehand, but if a huge campaign was going live today, they would be aware, you know, the promo code we're using and the influx of calls that are going to be coming in and kind of have a sense of that. You know, marketing might be pushing out an email for our store, and I don't know that until the morning before. So it allows us just to do daily check-ins to really know where everyone's at. We have daily check-ins, then we have, well, depending on the department, you know, one-on-ones with each of the team members. Then we have a monthly check-in and then a quarterly, and then we have our annual one as well. And that's where I said that it starts with the annual priorities and it gets broken all the way down into these daily huddles. And what are we doing to move the ball forward every single day, including like top priorities for the day? Like everyone in this building has a top priority to complete today. And if nothing else gets done, that gets done. It allows us as a company to say that is the right priority to be doing. And sometimes it's get through my emails and make sure there's, you know, no loose ends out there. Or it might be launch a campaign, you know, on Facebook, it might be more revenue generating. So they're the best thing that we could do here, but it ties into the entire company.
Interesting. You know, I'm super impressed with it's a good conversation that we've had off camera and before and on camera.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear more about the productivity things and that management. Maybe we can rapid fire and you can just shoot off a couple productivity tips and lessons and things that you've learned that will help our listeners and business owners.
Okay.
So as far as you, maybe we can, would you want to start with tools, or do you just want to start with productivity tips? I'm going to just hand that into your area, and maybe we can go for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that.
Let's do productivity tips and not tools as much.
Okay.
If you've talked to Joel Widmer at all, which I know you've had two with him, two podcasts, you know, he's the productivity tool genius. Like every week we talk, I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have a new tool. But we can talk about just the more like fundamentals, if that works for you.
Let's talk about your top three, your favorite top three.
Okay. All right. This can be, gotta figure this out. So number one is just the whole idea of deep work. The idea of honing in on one thing for whether it be hours at a time. You know, a lot of people believe in doing like 3 hours heads down. Some people believe you can only do half an hour, you know, it's all whatever, but I believe, you know, in deep work. So if I have three things I need to get done today, I really, my personality, I need to shut the door. I need to put on some music, and just go deep into something so I can fully immerse myself. You know, for example, yesterday it was all about boxes. You know, boxes are not sexy at all. They're not fun to think about, but I need to make sure that we're the most efficient we can be because we're shipping these large items. The boxes are the best they can be. And I had all these bids out in front of me. So to hit that 10 times that day and have distractions all throughout the day, I would have never made the decision that I actually needed to make. And I needed to shut the door, listen to music, get heads down, get Excel spreadsheets pulled up, and just do the work. And that's me personally, but I know on a productivity side, there's a lot of studies out there that do say, you know, how much a distraction actually throws off your day and all that. So long story short, you know, just this idea of deep work, which is a book by, I think, Cal Newport. Yep. So great idea there, great concept, taught by many, but that's a big one for me.
Okay. So deep work, what's another, like one of your other top threes? And I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no, but this is good. Guarding my calendar. So on that line of deep work, saying no, which I know is all entrepreneurs and even marketers and stuff, because we love doing everything, but saying no and guarding my calendar, protecting my calendar from, and this might sound selfish, but like not going to lunch unless it's going to really, I'm going to gain or they're going to gain a lot from me and we're going to like grow together. So not just casual lunches, not just taking a call just to shoot the breeze. And then not saying yes to, you know, I think you probably get this some too, but people want to know, just like we're doing right here, like, what are your growth strategies? What can I do in my business? And we could talk about this with people all day long, especially for free. They would love that. So the concept of just saying no has really helped me, because I found myself in the past, I'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner for months at a time, like every single day. And not only does that tie into family time that is so protected for me now, but it ties into productivity throughout the day. And I need to, if I'm going to do deep work, it's going to require me to say no to a lot of people.
Yeah. Good. Very good point. I hope that our listeners take that one.
Yeah.
Let's shoot for one more.
All right. Learning. I think learning, and I'm looking at this book down here. This is just one example. I'll put this back over here, but I spend about an hour or so a day immersed in learning. And from a productivity side, I know that's not like, oh, this my day is getting more efficient by that, but I can't sit down and read an entire book, you know, in one sitting, or my weekend is really spent with my family. So I don't do as much learning over the weekend, but I don't know if you saw the new Warren Buffett documentary out on HBO, but it talks about him. Every day he gets in the office, he spends like 3 hours reading the stocks and doing all that, which is great. I wish, you know, maybe I'll get to that one day, not the stock piece, but just immerse myself in something new every day or every other day that is going to just sharpen what I do, whether it's as a team leader, whether it's a tactic that I hear of someone else talking about inside the company that I just want to know more about. It's allowed me to be more efficient with meetings because I can bring a new idea to the table. I can use an analogy from something I've learned to really tie in a bigger picture here. And if it's more tactical, more, you know, a marketing hack or something, I can know what other people are bringing to the table, whether it's a system or a process,
And it makes meetings, it makes my day a little more efficient by doing that. And I just think, you know, we always have to be learning on some level. So that's not as much a productivity hack, but definitely a daily routine that I can't get enough of. And on that note, I mean, just even exercise. I have to exercise every morning. That starts my day, but I carry that into learning as well. So those are like one and the same, but they do get split because I can't focus on a podcast while I'm working out. I thought I could, but I can't.
There you go. No, that's great. I think those principles, while they may not sound sexy to some people, it's truly like the stuff that's not exciting, the boring, consistent things that are the most important things.
Yes.
I often see new entrepreneurs just trying to chase and run down this like most shiny new tactic. Oh, following this new Pomodoro. It's like, dude, like just eliminate distractions and get to work.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this book I read 5 or 6 years ago called The Slight Edge. I don't know if you've read that book, but it's small incremental changes made every single day. And that whole idea of overnight success tends to appear as it happened overnight, but you got to get, you know, you got to till the fields, you plant the seeds and at some point, you know, wait, but you have to be diligent in those daily routines. Even if they sound boring or dull and just trust the process. And there will be some hustle along the way. I think as growth happens, we're all hustling on some level. But yeah, just staying consistent with your days is huge, and just prioritizing and executing the best you can.
Yeah, that's so very true. What should I have asked you that I didn't? Or what should we have talked about?
One thing that I've spent a lot of time with our marketing team on the past couple of weeks has been this whole idea of, we talked about this kind of in the pre-interview a little bit about branding, you know, how much effort we put on brand. And as a startup or as a fast growing company, I know there's some brands out there that if you get lucky, you get a good viral video, which I know is not all luck. There's some systems to that, but then I also know, you know, raising a ton of money to do your branding can get you there too. We're a company that is very profitable, and that's one of the things we always want to be. And so when it comes to like whether I want to focus on sales versus branding, as a creative marketer, I want to go branding all the time. I want to spend $1 million on branding because that's fun. But as a P&L responsibility, I need to focus on sales. So I just want to bring that up to say, you know, whether it's a startup, whether it's, you know, mid-level growing, the brand is important. And as I shared, our brand is customer service. Our brand is educating people in the allergy space. That's not a shiny logo. That's not a viral video. That's not things that we're doing right now. Are we going to do that stuff in the future? Absolutely. But as we're going through these growth pieces, I just want to make money. I want to get more eyeballs on our product and make more money for the company that allows us to do those types of things. And I know that early on, a lot of times more is spent on branding and you can't track that as a metric as fast. And so it's tough when you're scaling to know the effectiveness of your campaigns. And with PPC, with these other, you know, I pay money, I get money back. I create the company money. I can track that on a daily basis. I love that. I love being able to do that. Branding, although super fun, super sexy, I can't track that as fast. And I would just caution people as they are, you know, going through this phase to really think about that. Think about that process. I know you'd mentioned that to me. I just want to bring that up as kind of a side note. Nothing to do with productivity, but a lot to do with the phase of growth that we're going through. And I think most companies are going through.
You know, that is a great piece of advice, because you can have the best branding in the world, but if you're not profitable, eventually your burn rate will kill you and run you out of business.
Yes. Yes.
So very true. How can our listeners follow up and say thank you to you for this interview?
So we're active on all the social channels at this point. If you need an air filter for your home, I can create a code for you too, that if you want to share with people. I don't know if you do that, but we can totally do that. But, you know, cleanerfilters.com is your place to get air filters for your home. And yeah, we're starting to blog a lot. We have a lot of good content going out. So if you are a homeowner, if you have a family, if you're, you know, single in your apartment too, like there are things that we're putting information out to really allow the homeowner, the renter, to have a better quality of life inside their environments.
That's awesome.
And that's just on our blog, on our website.
All right, cleanerfilters.com.
Correct.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And are you active on Twitter? So someone could just give you a quick shout out.
They could. Yep. Twitter. Okay. It's cleanerfilters on Twitter. Yeah. Okay. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well, but yeah, Twitter would be the quickest way to get a fast response.
Perfect. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with our listeners today, to share some insights and also, you know, give some advice that you're in the saddle before these business owners grow up to that level. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.